Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NIIT Limited Quarter 4 and Annual Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this conference call to discuss the results of Quarter 4 and financial year ending March 31st, 2018. This is a busy season for calls, so thank you very much for giving us your time. And I have everybody from the leadership team available here, so I would not introduce them now, but as and when you ask them questions, they'll introduce themselves. Right now, without further ado, I think I would hand you over to Sapnesh Lala, Chief Executive Officer, who will take us through the results, and then we can have a Q&A interaction.
Thanks, Vijay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining. Before I begin, I must say that the numbers that I'm going to talk about are presented as per new Ind AS standards and not comparable to the numbers reported last year. The analysis here, however, is on a like-to-like basis using the new accounting standards. Also, please note that Q4 is typically a relatively weak quarter for both the corporate learning group as well as the schools and career, the skills and career business. However, a relatively stronger quarter for the schools business. That having been said, I did complete 8 months this past month as the CEO, and it's my pleasure to walk you through our Q4 as well as financial year 18 results. The corporate learning group, which is now 65% of NIIT's overall global business, has entered a higher growth trajectory in Q4, recording 28% growth on a year-on-year basis. We're getting into a phase of strong growth visibility in CLG, and we think that we will sustain it over the next few years. Our skills and career business has been facing headwinds, and both in IT and banking space for some time. This is visible in the headline revenue numbers. We have, however, done selective cost conservation to enable this business to stay in black despite the negative impact of lower revenues. Also, we've tried some experiments in the market over the last couple of quarters and are starting to see some opportunities for business to start growing. Our schools business is in the last leg of a planned ramp down to exit capex intensive and low return business in government schools. We are now left with just one government school contract, which we will end over the next quarter or so. There will, however, be some tail from that contract left over, which will last for the better part of the year. There has been some regulatory uncertainty over the last several months, which has delayed decision-making by school management in what is typically the strongest quarter in the private schools business. Our online business continues to grow in a substantial manner and recorded $60 million in revenue this year compared to $6 million last year. We believe that the growth in online will continue to gain momentum. As we ended the year, we recorded better profitability. Our PAT was up 53%, better liquidity. Our net debt stayed flat, approximately flat at $401 million in spite of the payments or the funds for the acquisition of Eagle Productivity Solutions. Our ROCE was at 13.9%, and that showed an improvement of 448 basis points on a year-on-year basis. And operating profit, our ROC, the ROC I mentioned was on an operating basis. Taking you into details of our businesses, as I mentioned, Corporate Learning Group, which is now at 65% of the overall business, saw substantial momentum and grew at 28%. This business has entered a higher growth trajectory, and we think that it will sustain higher growth levels over the next several quarters. We have been seeing consistent growth of 14 to 15% in the corporate business over the last couple of years, and we now have strong visibility of faster growth over the next few years, driven by some of the large comprehensive deals that we have announced, as well as, to some extent, contributions from the acquisition of Eagle Productivity Solutions. Our revenue in Q4 stood at 1,451 million, up 28%, 27% constant currency. The financial year 18 revenue stood at 5,183 million, up 14% year-on-year, 17% constant currency. EBITDA in Q4 stood at 196 million, up 28% year-on-year. The FY18 EBITDA stood at 761 million, up 18% year-on-year, with an improvement of 47 basis points compared to last year. And this is in spite of headwinds from a Forex impact perspective. We signed 5 new contracts in Q4, 3 new logos, each one of them a leader in their respective segments. One, a leader in the office automation space. Second, a leader in factory automation. And third, a very large IT products company. FY18 saw sign 15 MTS contracts across 8 new logos. As you can see from the momentum in signing contracts, our customers continue to put their trust in NIIT and continue to expect more from NIIT. Our revenue visibility now stands at approximately $218 million, which is up 18% on a year-on-year basis. I'm also happy to note that the Eagle acquisition is now fully integrated into the Corporate Learning Group and is now known as the Application Rollout Black Practice, focused on the pharma segment. Eagle contributed 176 million to our Q4 revenue. Our skills and careers business saw a relatively weak Q4, as is seasonal. The business, as I mentioned before, has been facing headwinds both from an IT and banking perspective. Both have seen uncertainty from a hiring perspective. The revenue in Q4 stood at 584 million. For the year, the revenue was at 2,669 million, down 12% on a year-on-year basis. The revenue is lower compared to what we thought it will be, predominantly driven by a virtual freeze in hiring with some of the banks that we have deep relationships with. In terms of EBITDA, in Q4, we rationalized people costs as well as created efficiencies in customer acquisition costs, and that helped us overcome some of the negative impact of lower revenue. Our Q4 EBITDA is 3 million for the quarter, whereas the EBITDA for the year was positive 36 million versus 46 million in FY17. I mentioned earlier that we've tried a few new experiments and some of them are starting to take root, an exciting opportunity we've been pursuing over the last 6 months has started to take shape. We call it Talent Pipeline as a Service. As you are all aware, in the competing landscape that our customers face today, having a clear pipeline of skilled, talented employees is a critical differentiator for them. One of the things that NIIT has started offering its customers is to provide that talent pipeline as a service. What that does is it enables our customers to move the responsibility of finding new talent, training them, onboarding them, as well as integrating them in our customers' workforce and trust NIIT with that responsibility. We are starting to see our customers adopt this product, and we expect that over the next several quarters, this product will start to take root. We are also launching a number of new products in key sunrise areas such as data analytics and predictive modeling, full stack software engineering, accounting and business analytics, banking and finance related relationship management, and digital marketing and branding. So overall, a number of experiments on at the Skills and Careers Group, some of them starting to take root, which show that there is opportunity for growth up, as we move forward. As I mentioned earlier, our online business saw strong traction compared to last year. Our revenues increased to 60 million compared to 6 million last year. And for the quarter, the revenue was 18 million versus 4 million in the fourth quarter of last year. For the schools business, Q4 is seasonally the strongest quarter. However, it was impacted to some extent by the uncertainty due to regulatory issues, specifically around adoption of NCERT curriculum at private schools. The revenue stood at 175 million, down 33% due to the planned ramp down of government schools business. Excluding the government schools business, the go forward business saw a revenue of 169 million. For the full year, the revenue was at 593 million. The revenue from go forward business saw a growth of 3% on a year-on-year basis. The EBITDA of the go-forward business was 40 million for the quarter and saw a margin at 23%. This margin saw was based on a one-time gain of 12 million for Q4. The schools business signed up 317 new contracts in Q4 and 668 new contracts in the full year. Coming back, from an overall perspective, NIIT's Q4 revenue was up 6% year-on-year at 2,228 million. The go-forward business on a constant currency basis was up 10%. For financial year 18, the revenue was up 1% year-on-year at 8,505 million. On a go-forward constant currency basis for the year, the revenue was up 6%. From an overall operating perspective, I thought we delivered a strong operating performance. The EBITDA was at 221 million, up 22% year-on-year, and for the year, the EBITDA was at 746 million, up 11% year-on-year. EBITDA margin saw 130 basis points improvement and was at 10% for Q4. For the year, the EBITDA margin saw an improvement of 80 basis points and was at 9%. Our net debt, as I mentioned earlier, was at 101 million versus 401 million versus 419 million last year. And as I reminded earlier, This was after paying for the initial installments for the Eagle acquisition. Without the impact of Eagle, the net debt would have been at 278 million. So a substantial improvement from the same time last year. Our DSO days are at 71 days versus 83 in the last quarter. Last year at the same time, the DSO days were 74. Our CapEx requirements continue to be low compared to the industry. From an overall profit after tax perspective, as I mentioned earlier, PAT was at 625 million for the year, up 53% year on year. For Q4, the PAT was at 197 million. Our earnings per share for Q4 was at 1.2. For the year, it was at 3.8. That would be the end of my prepared comments. I would now invite all of you to ask us questions. Your questions are always welcome, and they help us gain insight into our own business and help improve it. So, Margaret, if you could open lines for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nisar Vakaria from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and congratulations on a good set of results. Sir, I wanted to ask you that we have reported 15% EBITDA margin in the corporate learning business in the past. Has there been any drag on the EBITDA margins because of incorporating the Eagle acquisition?
Thanks for asking that question. I think from an overall perspective, the corporate learning group margins tend to buffet between 14 and 15%, and that's something that we have said in the past. From an overall year perspective, I think the Eagle margins are also going to be in the same ballpark. However, Q4 typically tends to be a low quarter from a margin perspective for the pharma business. Also, in Q4, we saw a little bit of an adverse foreign exchange impact. But on a overall year-on-year basis, I would say we would stay at the 15% range.
Sir, do we have any sort of operating leverage or delta kicking into EBITDA margin expansion as we go towards this, higher teen growth for the next 2 years?
Thanks for asking that question. I think it's a very good question. In normal circumstances, you would expect improved leverage. However, as I've mentioned in the past, we've made the choice of reinvesting in sales and marketing so that we can continue on a high growth trajectory. And that's really what we've been doing over the last few years, and it's been showing good results. So we expect to continue the same.
Sir, my last question is that, the depreciation annually has come down because of better capital allocation. What is the sort of depreciation number that we should be looking at for FY19 and FY20, which is 40 crores per year as of now?
Yeah, you would see it in the same range. You would not see the range change very dramatically. I think it will be in the 42-45 range.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That answers my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of K. Potter from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Your investment in NIT Technologies, the price has gone up quite substantially. Is there any move on the divestment front? That is number one. And number two, this time you had some operational profit. Why didn't you declare any dividend?
On the NIT technologies front, I would let Vijay answer that question.
I'll answer both. So, first of all, on NIT technologies front, it is a standard question. It has a standard answer that when it is appropriate time, we would be able to inform you. I don't disagree with you that the NIT technologies has performed exceptionally well and our patience has been very well rewarded. The stock is also doing well. The earnings ratios have now caught up, though still undervalued compared to what the potential of the company is. But having said that, I think by holding on to the stock, I think all our shareholders are also gaining at this point of time. But at an appropriate time, we would be able to discuss that because I don't think at this time there is any plan which can be shared. The second part was on dividend. Once again, the fact that we have our NIT Limited standalone in positive is the first sign that we are getting dividend ready. But as we had mentioned before, we are in the investment phase of the transformation, and now we are reaching the end of that. So I think in times to come, we should be able to get the dividend part restarted. This year, the profit is very small, but yet it is important. It's about 5 crores of net profit. But I think in the coming times, when this profit will also increase substantially with the changes that we have made, I think we can look forward to getting back to the dividend cycle.
Can it happen in the next year? I mean, can we expect dividend next year? The way the things are progressing, I mean...
Many factors will have to contribute.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Ganesh Shetty. He is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
No, thanks for the opportunity, sir. And I offer my deepest condolence for the departed soul of Sri Prakash Menon, who was with us since the inception of the company. And as an SNC business is going through transformation change as well as many new businesses, many new courses are also coming, and the traditional IT business is also going offline. So how the leadership is going to be in the coming months? Can you please elaborate, sir?
Sure. First of all, thank you for participating in the grief. As you could guess, everyone at NIT is deeply mourned by Prakash's departure, untimely departure. It's been cruel for all of us at NIT. He was also the architect of the experiments that we have tried out and was leading a number of initiatives to transform the business. As you may have known, NIT as an organization has deep management depth, and we are in the process of creating a transition plan which will enable us to not only continue some of the transformations that Prakash had started, but also bring them to closure and start monetizing some of the things that he had started. So, as you pointed out, many transformations started. None of them will lose steam, and that's what he would have expected as well. I think the show will go on. NIT has a strong management team, and I think a number of folks will step in to fill the void.
Yes, thank you very much, sir, for the reply. And my question is regarding our B2B business as far as India corporate business is concerned. What is the growth over there, and how do you see the way forward, sir?
I think in a great way, the India corporate business as well as the India career education business are linked, because at the end of the day, both of them thrive in a strong employment market, and both of them see headwinds when the employment market sees uncertainty. So the corporate business also saw headwinds, just as the career education business saw. And I think the experiments that we are doing cut across both of these businesses, and we feel that some of the things that we are starting out will give growth opportunities for both of these businesses.
Yes, sir. My third question is regarding the school business. In go-forward basis, we have had enough number of contracts, new contracts, throughout the year and also in the present quarter. But as far as revenue is concerned, the revenue growth is not as expected as we have thought. So can you please elaborate this point, sir?
I think you are right. While we added school contracts, however, we didn't add as many as we were expecting to add due to the uncertainty that we saw from a regulatory perspective. I think to some extent there was confusion on whether adoption of NCERT books was necessary or not necessarily, whether it was mandated or not mandated, and that pushed out some of the decisions. Having said that, we did expand our curriculum in a very substantial way, and that will give us an opportunity to offer more complete solutions to our school customers and thereby increasing our share of wallet with those customers.
That's all from me, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Burde from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Ruchi, your line is in the talk mode. Can you please go ahead with your question?
Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible now.
Yeah. First of all, thank you, management, and congratulations for a good set of number. I wanted to get more comment on corporate learning solutions. So with the acquisition and the Rico deal, we have decent growth visibility for next 2 years. But how do we see growth momentum in the underlying native business over the next 2 years?
I think you pointed to the answer to that question. Not only do we have visibility from the Rico business, we also closed three new customers and extended two others this past Q4. From an overall perspective, we added 15 new contracts in the last 1 year, and that's substantially higher than the number of contracts we had added the previous year. All of that is to say that more and more organizations are looking at learning outsourcing as a viable option, and they are starting to put their trust in NIIT to make that transformation come through. So given that, we expect continued acceleration or continued high performance by the corporate learning group, higher growth trajectory. Eagle acquisition, while not a huge one from a revenue perspective, but from a capability perspective, a substantial capability which is required by most corporations that we work with, and that will add to the growth rate as well. So from an overall perspective, we see CLG continuing in the higher growth orbit for the next few years.
Secondly, largely on the accounting bit of it, does the reported revenue visibility number contain revenue that we expect from Rico contract?
Yes, it indeed does, because it's one of our contracts, and the visibility does include numbers for Rico.
So Rico was one of the benchmark deals that we concluded, and from next financial year it would start contributing to the revenues. With that background, how did we fare in getting more business in Canadian market, if you could throw some light?
We've added a couple of customers in Canada, not very significant yet, but we've added a few customers in Canada. However, right now, our focus from a Canada perspective is to ensure that we do the transition successfully so that we have no risks with respect to moving forward to the revenue phase of the Rico contract. We look at Canada as a market, just as we look at United States as a market, but compared to the United States, it's a much smaller market.
And lastly, for this RICO contract, how should we look at revenue flowing through? Would it be a sharp bump up or it would be gradual pickup in revenue?
I think in the first year, so it will be gradual. It will take about a year to 5-6 quarters to reach stable state. And after that, we expect that it will get to stable state. It will start delivering revenue from July of 2019. And from July onwards, sort of a transition period of revenue increase will start. And it will take about 4-5 quarters from July to start reaching stable state.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
And of course, for the rest of you, once it starts, quickly it will reach stable state. And it will almost appear as a step jump if you look at year-on-year performance.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Bua. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I want two or three questions to ask. One is about the skills and careers that we have launched some 6 new products last month in the market. How is the response at branch level and the students level for those courses? Because there are no new courses in artificial intelligence, machine learning, digital marketing, finance, and other areas. So how exactly is the response to that? I would like to understand. And second question is about the China growth. Could you throw some numbers properly on the China growth? The number of students or number of universities or number of, amount of revenue that we expect from export market and China market. That's very important. And thirdly, about the schools business, there's a good addition of number of schools. But where exactly the profitability will go up? From the next quarter, do we drop out the one single school? And we have added the number of schools. So what kind of bottom line or margins we can expect in schools business? Actually, schools business has not been successful for many of the companies in the past. So what is going to be the NIT differential in that, in the schools business, to make more profit and this thing? So skills and careers and schools will be the really also driving forces for the future growth, I think. Please, thank you.
Thanks for your question. I would say that, like I pointed out earlier, 65% of NIT's business is corporate business. So the major driver for growth and profits will continue to be the corporate learning group, which, as I mentioned earlier, has reached a higher trajectory of growth. And while schools, as well as the skills and career business, we expect to generate profit, but the biggest driver of growth and profit will continue to be the corporate business. That having been said, to respond to your first question in terms of new products, we are in the process of releasing 5 new products that I mentioned a little bit earlier. These 5 products will go into key test markets starting early June. And in the market research that we have done, as well as the focus groups that we have done, we found good acceptance for both the products and the content of the product. However, to complete the answer to your question, we have not rolled those out to the students or to markets yet. That activity is planned for early June. In terms of China, China contributes about 8% of NIIT's revenues. It's a growing market for us. Today, we operate in 15 universities in China, large universities in China, and our goal is to grow the number of universities that we participate in China. And I'll get to the answer to the next question, and I'll come back on the growth numbers for China in a second. I think on schools, your question was, how do our products differentiate in the market? I think the key differentiator for us has been our ability to create and accelerate academic outcomes. And I think that really is what our customers choose an IIT for. When they compare an IIT with others, they find that if academic outcomes was what was important for them, the NIT curriculum offers that better than anyone else. The second key area of differentiation for us is our Practice Plus platform. It's a platform that our school students are able to go to from their homes or from wherever they are, either out of from a laptop or a mobile phone, and practice concepts and try out assessments that on concepts that they learned in school. Today we have almost 200,000 students who are registered users of the Practice Plus platform, and over 600-700 students spend over half an hour every day on that platform. So those are two key differentiators for our school's business. The third thing, like I mentioned, which is a driver of profitability, really is the new curricula that we added in this past quarter. By adding those curricula, we are able to take more product, more curriculum to the school and increase the share of wallet with our schools.
So do we expect a very bright performance for skills and careers after introduction of these six courses that we have done by now, by whom they will start?
I think our hope is, our expectation is that we will start to see growth in the skills and career business, both based on improved operational excellence as well as new products, both in terms of the product that we talked about just now, as well as the training as a service product, talent pipeline as a service product that I spoke a few minutes ago. To complete the answer on China, our revenue was up 14% year on year this past year, and we've been on a double digit growth pattern last year as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Firstly,
I'm sorry, Rahul, we can't hear you. Please.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, now it is. Thank you.
Yeah, so firstly, on this revenue and earning model, if you could tell us on the TPaaS initiative that you've started.
Sure. To provide a little more color on it, I don't know how it is done where you go to work, but most large organizations have a large team who is focused on talent acquisition, and another large team that's focused on training, and then another large team that focuses on resource management and making sure that the folks who join the organization get integrated and get deployed. A number of organizations are looking at models where they can variabilize this activity, make it more efficient, and more than that, make it more effective. So a number of our customers are starting to work with us where they move the responsibility of creating a talent pipeline, acquiring talent, training them, onboarding them, and then integrating and deploying that talent into their workforce. What that does is it enables them to free up substantial management bandwidth and also work with an organization who can do the same activity in a more efficient and effective manner.
Okay, so are these the team that they are engaged in these kind of activity are the core management team, or they have a separate department? And if it is a separate department, like an HR department, then if we win a deal, do we absorb the current workforce of that organization to begin with, or they are assigned a different role in the organization and we take up this initiative?
So our customers at the corporations where we work with tend to be the HR side as well as the business side. Like I mentioned, the process starts with talent acquisition, planning for talent acquisition, then onboarding the talent, making them skilled to be able to do the job, and then to get them deployed. So it spans across HR as well as business and resource management. That having been said, what it enables these organizations to do is to move the attention of HR from just acquiring new talent to enabling the existing talent to do more and to do better. So normally these deals do not result into rebadging of HR folks into NIT.
Okay, got it. So will this be part of corporate learning or skill? Because I mean, it has blend of both.
You are right, it has a blend of both, and we have teams from both sides of NIT coming together to make this successful for our customers.
So from a reporting structure point of view, when we start getting reasonable revenue here, where it would feature?
In SNC.
Okay. And so if you could give a broad color in terms of the go forward business, what all constitute in your opinion today in that piece, and individually if you could spread some thought on that.
I think as we look at our go forward business, we do not foresee taking on large contracts which have capex, high capex involved. These used to be contracts with government in the past, which involved system integration work, putting in hardware, and so on and so forth. We don't anticipate doing those projects on a go-forward basis.
Okay. And on the tax rate, why this number is very high compared to the PBT? Any reason you could share on this?
I'm going to request Sanjeev Bansal, head the tax side of NIT's finance organization, to answer your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. This is Sanjeev Bansal. So tax rate as compared to previous year is higher on a number perspective, that it includes the DTL part of the dividend of the income from NIT Technologies, which is an associate company. So this, as well, this is required as per the new accounting framework under Ind AS, that the profit earned by associate company has to, we have to create deferred tax liability on that profit.
No, so my question is, if I see the release, we have a provision of 20 crores as against PBT of 17 crores. Does this include any component related to associate share also?
Yes. Yeah, this includes that as well.
So what would be the tax in this provision towards the core business?
So that is 60 million out of 20 crore, 60 million is towards the core business, 6 crore.
Okay, got it. So that is roughly around less than 30%.
Yeah, that's right.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Besides, it is 66 million on the core business, which has an operational PBT of 177 million, and 135 million is out of the associate profit, taxation on associate profit. Just to give you the exact number.
Right, good.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nimish Shah from MK Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, what will be the effective operational tax rate going forward since there was a one-off DTL this year?
No, it's not DTA.
DTL, sorry. Yeah.
DTL will always come whenever there is associate profit.
It's not a one-off event.
It's not a one-off event. It is, to explain you, if we get a profit of 100 rupees from associates,
okay,
then on those 100 rupees, 20 rupees, that is equivalent of dividend distribution tax, is the tax which we kept in the provision for taxes for this, on this purpose. Assuming that the whole dividend will be, profit will be dividended out.
Okay.
That's the new accounting standard. You will see that in every company which is following in that.
Okay. So the operational tax rate should be at same levels going forward as well.
Yeah, the operational tax rate is about 30%. It will perhaps reduce a little, but it will be in the same rate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kohli from Pure Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, so all three of our businesses are, you know, kind of moving, three business segments are moving in a different direction. So corporate learning is clearly on an upward path. SNC is, you know, sideways, and then there is, of course, the schools business, which is in a ramp down. And so based on this, I have some questions on the sub-segment level, but at a broad level, can you share, you know, what according to you should be our top line and bottom line 1 year out and maybe, you know, 3 to 5 year out? Where do you see that? Because there's just too many moving parts to be able to assess the business completely. And given that you are closer, can you throw some light on that?
I would start by saying that I think the three businesses are not going in different directions. I think both our goal and direction, as well as the reality, is that the three businesses are moving in the same direction. Our goal, of course, is that all three businesses show growth. If you were to look at the schools business, the go-forward business has seen growth, though muted because of uncertainty, but it has seen growth. The skills and career business has seen headwinds. However, our effort is to ensure that it gets into growth over the next, over this fiscal year. And like you pointed out, the corporate business is continuing and its growth path, and actually is in a higher growth orbit as we go ahead. So from an overall perspective, I see growth continuing for the corporate business, the skills and careers business starting to see growth over this year, and the schools business, which has seen growth over the last few years on a go-forward business side, continuing to see some growth on the go-forward business.
So can you quantify that? And I'm not looking at any exact numbers here, but so now, where do you see the business ending in from a top-line, bottom-line perspective in 1 year or 3 years? Because I understand, you know, you're looking at go-forward, but ultimately, you know, shareholders look at consolidated numbers. That is what kind of gets approved to them. So where are you, you know, kind of looking at ending the next year or maybe 3 years out or whatever it is that you have planned in and planned?
Sure. As we have done in the past, I'm going to provide guidance across different businesses, and I guess you guys are much better than math than I am, so you can figure out what that means from an overall perspective. Like I said earlier, CLG has entered a higher growth trajectory, and we see a sustained low 20s growth for CLG over the full year. The margin, we expect the margin to remain more or less in the same range as it is today, maybe a little bit of improvement. In the skills and career business, as I said earlier, for the year, we expect single-digit growth. We are hoping that we'll start seeing growth over the next couple of quarters. I didn't specifically want to create great expectations on growth, but as I said, we can start seeing growth in the next couple of quarters. In the schools business, despite uncertainty in the you know, in terms of which way the government is going to decide on curricula and books, we still feel that we should be able to get single digit margins on the go forward business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, sir. Now coming specifically to the two segments on school and SNC. On schools, see, this segment per se has been very badly beaten down, not just within NIT, but, you know, because of government regulation change, curricula change, you know, and also, you know, you mentioned that you have online apps, but, you know, so does Baiju and so, and, you know, other players who offer at various stages. Now, the point is, do you see that this business is ever going to be significant or big, and do you see merit in retaining this business within the organization, or, you know, because the competitive intensity and poor economics of this business across the nation, you know, for multiple reasons, more reasons than one, have been very, very weak. So, I mean, what is it that we are really bringing in? You know, you say that, you know, there is online apps, and then you say that, you know, there is better performance of the students when they read, you know, when they're kind of choosing NIT. How do we quantify that? How does it translate into a more competitive advantage at the ground level. You know, just the evidence across industries points to otherwise, and I'm just trying to understand how do we plan to, you know, kind of do a much better job at it than anybody has done, given the weak regulatory and, you know, supply environment in this particular segment.
So I would start by saying that the schools business is about 5% of the total NIIT business. And while it is 5% of the total NIIT business, we see opportunities across the board. And those are the opportunities that we've been chasing. It has seen the go-forward business, as I mentioned, has seen growth. We are able to continuously add new schools to our list of customers. And as I said, the focus is on achieving better academic outcomes for our students. That having been said, there are opportunities in front of us, and as we look at those opportunities, we'll make decisions. But from an overall perspective, we think it's a growth opportunity. It's seen growth, at least from a go-forward perspective, and we will continue to push to see how we can grow faster.
Okay, so you still feel that investing capital in this business is kind of wise from getting returns perspective?
Well, actually, like I said earlier, we are out of the capital intensive business. The go forward business is an IP business, which is not as capital intensive as the government schools business was of the past.
Understood. And now on this other segment, which is the SNC segment. So, of course, banking and IT have been the core clientele that we have here. So you mentioned that you expect a pickup in a couple of quarters. Is that based on any discussions that you're having with your clients? And secondly, are we looking at, you know, maybe aggressively looking at either other kind of solutions or other industry verticals to target within this particular segment? Because this seems to be a segment which will have, you know, good demand runway in the future as well. So whether it is, you know, horizontally or vertically, it will probably add a lot of value to invest in this. So what are your thoughts there, you know, in the short-term demand and also in the long-term? How do you kind of, you know, see this business growing out either vertically or horizontally?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think you asked two or three questions, so in case I forget one, do remind me. I think the first question was, have we had discussions with our customers to come up with new products? Absolutely. The talent pipeline as a service was a product that was built along with one of our key customers. We operated it for a few years, looked at perfecting it, and then are starting to scale it. So absolutely, and this is something that's part of NIIT's DNA. We work with our customers to build products so that we don't have to make mistakes on what we are focusing on. I think your second question was, are we broad-basing ourselves, both in IT as well as BFSI? So absolutely. I mean, if you think of IT, IT is not just programming. IT is across many disciplines, across digital marketing, across full stack development, across data and analytics, across creating predictive modeling, across machine learning, artificial intelligence, and so on and so forth. So you start seeing full stacks or full curricula around each of these areas. So yes, we are broad-basing in IT. As well as while in the past we have focused predominantly in banking because that was a sector that was growing substantially, we are broad-basing that also to BFSI. You'll see us taking on customers in insurance as well as in the financial services space.
Okay, and so any plans to venture beyond the broader IT and BFSI space, or you feel that is where we want to grow?
I think our overall thinking is to broad-base ourselves. We have been working with organizations who have large distribution channels, who are in logistics. So the typical way we work in India is we start working with customers to understand their requirements, to see how we can custom-built solutions for them. And then over time, as we broad-base our customers in a particular segment, we start generalizing our solutions and start to see if it makes sense to productize them. Mm-hmm. So you are right, we are and we do consider opportunities to productize our solutions each year. This year, as I mentioned, we are broad-basing IT as well as moving from banking to BFSI. Over the next few quarters, you'll see us do more of that.
All right. And finally, based for the existing work that we're doing, you mentioned that a couple of quarters down the line, you see some pickup happening. So is that based on some real discussions with the clients in terms of hiring plans in the IT and BFSI sector?
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kay Potter from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
See, my question is with regard to monetization. You have talked about the practice class for the school learning solution. That's a B2C product as per my understanding. Are you able to earn revenue out of it from the students?
So, first of all, it is not a B2C product. It's a B2B product.
Oh, okay.
As you are aware, we work directly with schools who in turn provide access to our curriculum to their students. However, okay. The students are able to access the platform from their homes. Okay. Now, I think what you were alluding to was that is there a monetization possibility where those students might buy more from the platform than what the school offers? I think that's a potential opportunity or one of the opportunities that was that I was alluding to the earlier in my response to the earlier question. So yes, there are opportunities and we look at them very carefully and see when might be the right time to monetize each.
Okay. And this talent pool as a service, I mean, who funds the candidates whom you are building up in such talent pool? The companies themselves or how does it work?
So right now we have customers across all different models. There are some where the customers pay for the service. There are some which the student pays for the service. And then there are some which are hybrid where both pay for the service.
Okay. Can we, is this akin to somebody, something like a bench in case of IT service companies, that there's some people on the bench? Instead of, they're sitting on the payroll in the company's payroll, they are with you. Is it like that?
This is not recruitment process outsourcing, if that's what you had in mind.
Okay.
Explain maybe you can explain what is
the... Yeah, I think, let me try to say it again. I tried to explain it earlier. What organizations want to look at is a method which gets them to talent as and when they want it and they expect that talent to be ready to be deployed.
Okay.
One way of doing that is to focus predominantly on lateral hiring, which some organizations do, but that is not how India has grown. I think India has grown on the back of bringing fresh talent who's just out of college into school, into corporate life and then training them and making them billable. I think organizations are starting to look at doing is instead of going to campuses, bringing armies of recruiters to campuses, recruiting large numbers of people in the June, July, August time frame, and then bringing all of them onto their payroll and over time start deploying them. What they are looking at doing is working with someone like NIIT who understands education, who understands onboarding, who has a clear sense of what skills are going to be relevant for a person to be deployed. And then they say, hey, in the first quarter, we expect so many people to get deployed. In the second quarter, we expect so many people in so many roles to get deployed. And then ensure that NIIT takes on the responsibility of fulfilling that task. In the past, they've done it themselves. I think now they're starting to see viable alternatives, and these alternatives enable them to have their management team focus on things that only they can do.
Okay, I get it. And how do you build them? I mean, what is the way they are built on in terms of number of students, monthly salary, or how do you get the revenue out of it?
Not really. It's a transaction. Every person who gets deployed is a transaction.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Nisarg Vakharia from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, coming back to your corporate learning business, 17 crores is what was added by the Eagle acquisition. So we have grown at 10% organically from FY17 to FY18. Is that correct?
Yeah, on a INR basis.
Yeah.
However, constant currency basis or in dollar terms, it's higher.
Is higher. Now, when I include the acquisition, this 145 crore quarterly run rate has the potential to grow at the high teens, or should I remove the Eagle acquisition and take that growth rate?
I think, like I pointed out, Eagle has become the application rollout practice for the pharma segment at NIT. So I don't think it makes sense to separate what Eagle is doing. It's fully integrated in that.
Okay. So when we talk of this, we talk of the revenue growth, we are talking of the entire 520 crore revenue to grow at high teens for the next 2 years.
That is correct.
That's great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is follow-up from the line of Ruchi Bhute from BOV Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the second chance. My question is on skills and career segment. So for several quarters, we have been running way tight ship on the cost front. Despite having bleeding top line, we've been able to manage profitability, though not very high, but still not in the negative zone on an annual basis. So going ahead, how much more leeway we have in terms of, adjusting cost the demand were to not pan out in the way we expect?
I'm typically not a pessimist. So what I would say is, it is hard to do cost control, but we've been successful so far. Our goal, of course, is to create a mechanism so that that business starts growing.
Okay. Let me put it other way. Are we confident about being in the positive zone on profitability in skills and career group, irrespective of how the top line performance is?
See, if the bottom fell out of the business, obviously nobody can guarantee that. But like I said, we expect to start seeing growth and therefore profit to continue in the coming years.
Another way of answering your question would also be that we have been able to variabilize a large portion of it.
Yeah.
So therefore it is a high operating leverage business, continues to be high operating leverage business. But we've been able to variabilize quite a bit.
Did that help?
Yes, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your questions. Your questions were insightful, and they push us to look at our business from different dimensions, some very unique. So thank you very much for taking time out from your busy schedules. In case you have further questions, do direct them to Kapil Saurabh. We are also going to be in Mumbai early next week, and I think we are going to be meeting with some of you to have more detailed conversations. But thank you for taking the time today, and look forward to meeting some of you next week.
Thank you. On behalf of NIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.